Roy Biggs from the Ulster Unionist Party. Roy, sorry for keeping you this morning, and thank you for holding on. Stephen Farry's holding on too. Morning to you, Roy.
Good morning, Stephen.
Well, I think quite a few people will be shocked at this news this morning. The timeline associated with it and some of the things John Compton is spelling out will probably happen very soon.
We have difficult times in front of us. This is a net result of the failure to set a budget last December, a failure to long-term plan in terms of our finances and actions within the health service, and actually a failure to implement and invest in transforming your care over this past 5-6 years. It was meant to bring about a lot of the change, but instead, much of the money was actually not allocated or diverted towards other short-term measures. We really need to have a long-term discussion, difficult as that may be, about where we're going.
That would be another long-term discussion, Roy.
No, this has to be done quickly. What I'm talking about is in terms of the finance and changes that have to happen. I think actually there's a major flaw in the current budget process. One, they didn't pass a budget, but apart from that, they just pass a number, and there's no real discussion and consultation with the public of what the outcomes of that number. They haven't actually faced the difficult decisions. They've had their decisions behind closed doors without indicating what the outcomes will be of it. What we need to know is if we're facing it now, we could have had this decision in December. If the health service stays as it is, without getting more money, we would have known this is where we'll end up, unless there is change or alternatively money is diverted for somewhere else. You could have predicted we were getting here in December. Why have we not had the maturity to have those sensible budget decisions then and take some decisions to go forward?
You represent this morning a political party. Did you not know this was coming? Did you not know this 70 million in 7 months was happening?
Anyone who would have recognised that the budget allocation, largely not keeping pace with inflation, could have predicted difficulties coming down the line. That could have been predicted. What has gone wrong here is we do not have an executive to take decisions. It did not actually even approve a budget. Some chose to actually avoid setting a budget, avoid difficult decisions in setting a budget by running. It was totally irresponsible.
Your party walked away from the executive.
Sorry, it was totally irresponsible of Sinn Féin to bring the executive down without putting the next year's budget.
But listen to what you're all doing this morning. So your party walked away from the executive. You're blaming Sinn Féin. Sinn Féin this morning, they can't find anybody to come on, but guess what they're doing in their statement? They're blaming the Tory party and the DUP. Guess what the DUP are doing? They can't come on to talk to any of you this morning. They're blaming Sinn Féin. At what stage do any of you stand up tall and say, here's an idea, here's what we've been doing about it, rather than politically point scoring against each other?
Stephen, I have, during my time on the Health Committee, and since then, always advocated that we had to divert more money towards primary care and primary services. It's clear that our failure to do so means that we are picking up medical conditions too late. It becomes more expensive to deal with them. Or I am aware, certainly from constituency issues, of the huge stress that exists in our GP services at present. You're already hearing where they cannot even attract locums to backfill. We have a shortage, and we need to do more, and we need to have long-term planning. We have to get away from this short-termism. Let's throw some money to fix a temporary problem. We need to have long-term planning for our health service.
Stephen Farry, still with us, right?
Sure. Yep.
Here's a question. Keep me right here. So wasn't the money that the DUP secured for Northern Ireland as part of their deal to prop up the Tory party?
Yeah.
I thought it was confirmed, or it was at least claimed by the DUP, that money was not dependent on devolution.
Yes, and that is also my understanding.
So therefore, where is that money, and could it not be used now?
Well, in theory, theory, that money could have been used this year. It hasn't been called down for this year. I'm not here to defend that deal. I wasn't part of it. But my understanding is it's for over a two-year period. And from my sense of the thing is that they are intending to deploy that money over the next 2 years, so after this financial year.
Yeah, but what I can do, Shirley, in this program, we can go to the DUP, Shirley, and say, well, look, if that money was not dependent on devolution, if it has been secured, then should it now be spent within the next 7 months to plug this £70 million cut, which is going to happen, which is going to affect DUP supporters and supporters of every other political party in Northern Ireland. It's going to mean elderly people having less care. It's going to mean children's services having less, people with mental health disabilities having less. Bed closures, John Compton has said this morning, could be an outworking of this. Elderly people being kept in a hospital when they could otherwise be in a much better, safer environment. I say safer because of infection control in the hospital. You try to get people out of a hospital as soon as you can, John. That's fair, okay?
That's fair, yes.
So it's going to keep elderly people in a hospital when really they should be in a nursing home. Why can't this money be got now? And this is when we then come back to questions for Mr. I Can't Turn Up to the Nolan Show, Brokenshire. Can he do anything about this?
The Secretary of State, James Brokenshire, doesn't have any legal authority over devolution. I mean, at the moment, Stephen...
But this money's not dependent on devolution.
No. The money's not dependent on devolution, and the money can be released from Westminster.
By who?
By the UK government.
That's where Brokenshire comes in.
Yes, well, but the issue is, Stephen... there's always a tension. If money's available, do you use that money to transform the service to make it in a strategic way to make it more efficient and effective down the line, or do you keep going back for money just to keep paying the bills on the same service model and never actually getting the thing fixed in a proper way based upon the reports that John Compton's done, the Bingo report, all those reports that are there to be implemented. So there's always that tension in the system.
That's all fine, Stephen, that tension, and I get it. I'll tell you who I'm thinking about this morning. Yeah. I'm thinking about the elderly person who's about to enter into the health service in Northern Ireland for whatever goes wrong in their life. And all of a sudden, you're all still getting your salaries, and that elderly person, or indeed that child who's about to enter, they're getting less care.
Yeah, Steve, let me also address another potential way this could be addressed. Now, you're aware back in July that the Secretary of State announced decisions that we're making in terms of monitoring rounds. So that's the underspends that happen in other government departments on an in-year basis can be reallocated. Now, in the absence of any executive, the absence of a budget, that process is not happening as it normally would. Now, there's a big question, and I'm going to get in touch today with the Permanent Secretary in the Department of Finance and also the Permanent Secretary in the Department of Health and ask the question, I mean, is there an ongoing consideration of where underspends are going to happen in different departments?
But
can that be reallocated? That process would normally happen if we had a functioning executive. But
yeah, I get that. But Roy Beggs, doesn't it suggest that we're well past that? These meetings are next Thursday. The chief executives of these trusts have already been told and indeed have drawn up plans of where the £70 million is coming out of in the health service.
This additional money that's sitting to be drawn down, that could fill a temporary hole. But as John Compton said earlier on, what we actually need is a minister in place, policy decisions being made, because otherwise more and more costs are building up because we're failing to do things differently. We need to get a working ministerial position back in post. We need the executive operating. It is just not credible to go for short-term fixes, because it all adds up, and that's what we have at the minute. We are still suffering from failing to look to the long term. Yes, we need money urgently to prevent this emergency action that you're talking about. But really what we need is long-term decisions by a minister, by an executive, bringing our system up to date, doing things differently, and providing a better service to our people.
0303 80 55 55. Sinn Féin blame the pressures, they say, on public services here on Tory austerity, which they say the DUP have given their unconditional support for. The DUP, meanwhile, in their statement, are criticising Sinn Féin for blocking the return of devolution. Jim and Yuri. Morning, Jim.
Morning.
Go ahead, Jim.
Well, I was listening to the programme, and my suggestion is stop the MNA's pay and their substance people. It's working for them, plus their travel expenses over the next 7 months, and that'll put a brave gap in the money in the 7 months.
Their pay hasn't been touched, Jim.
Yes, what I'm saying, stop the pay now and put their pay towards the health service.
Well, that would be tokenistic, wouldn't it?
Well, let's say it would maybe hook up with ideas to get something sorted to get the assembly going again. If they found out they were having no pay at the end of the month.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Anne and Newton Butler. Morning, Anne. Morning, Anne. Anne sounds as if she's in another room. Are you there, Anne? Clearly not. Stephen and Antrim. Morning, Stephen. Morning.
Oh, my view on this is we're just having the health service used as a moral blackmail device to try and get the assembly and the executive up and running again. What people don't want to hear in certain quarters is mention of direct rule. And it's direct rule that should be implemented here. There's no question about that. The fact that Brokenshire hasn't used his powers, for instance, to stop the MLA's pay is an indication that he too is afraid of mentioning the word or words direct rule.
The other question that comes into my mind this morning, where are the leaders of this country, the political leaders, as in the leaders of the political parties? Let's take the two biggest political parties in Northern Ireland, the DUP and Sinn Féin. So here we have a situation, a dramatic situation, which is going to impact on beds and the care of elderly people and the care of children. Has Arlene Foster got anything to say about this as a leader of the country? And indeed, Michelle O'Neill, can they put their political differences aside in any way and look at what should happen over the next 7 months? And this also then goes to the leader of the Ulster Unionist Party and the SDLP and indeed the Alliance Party. We understand that Naomi is off because of personal illness. I get that, but is this not a time for leadership and those people having some type of political statement, collective statement? Would that be possible? Robert and Carrick Fergus. Morning, Robert.
About a year ago, Michelle O'Neill came up with this big proposal. She was going to sort the health service out. Then a few weeks later, resigned, as did Sinn Féin, brought the government down. I said at the time it was a plan because she couldn't handle the health proposals that she'd promised. And the BC should be on the day answering for her mistakes and for bringing the government down.
Well, obviously Sinn Féin would say that there's a much bigger picture there. It's about equality and it's about rights for people and it's about the RHI inquiry.
Where's the rights, Stephen, for people's health?
There's someone that's just talked to the phone-in room within the last few seconds saying this is the next RHI, that actually the public will not tolerate this.
Well, we certainly won't.
I totally agree. I mean, there's plenty of people waiting on emergency operations, all sorts in the health service, and she can't come on to your show to tell us all about it.
This is bigger than Michelle O'Neill, isn't it? But she is the leader of one of the biggest parties in Northern Ireland, as is Arlene Foster. Do they have anything to say about this? The former health ministers in Northern Ireland, do they have any input in this? Look at the Belfast Telegraph, 5 big ads. An extraordinary meeting of the board of directors will be held next Thursday. This is real. This is happening. John Compton, let me ask you this. Let's say people decide this is it. They are going to take the time to go to these meetings. They are going to engage. What tactically do you think they could do? to have any impact on these meetings next week?
I think there are two things. They can express a view about... I think what I think is not helpful, because the reality is the reality. The 70 million is the 70 million. So if a trust says they want to make savings in a certain area and somebody says, well, I'd prefer if you had to make savings, make in this area instead of that area, I think be constructive about it is what I would say in the middle of it all. Also, after that, there will be a period of consultation. I don't know what length that consultation will be. It's probably going to be, what, 6 weeks or something of that nature.
Well, if it's 6 weeks, that means it's 6 months.
Well, yeah, but
for 70 million.
You know, if you're going to have consultation, you have to have some period of consultation, 3-6 weeks, whatever it might turn out to be. And people then can write in and can make and can lobby at that point about the changes, because it's only after that that the decisions would come up to be taken to implement the change. You know, one of the things.
To which, John, I will say that the ordinary member of the public's on the back foot here.
Well,
for them to go into these consultations and have effective impact, they've got less than a week's notice.
Well, I think that's right. I think there is something, but you know, damned if you do, damned if you don't. If the trusts had gone ahead and done all of this and not been in public, I'm sure your programme would have been complaining. You know, they can only do what they can do in this situation. So you have to have a little bit of sympathy in that. But I think personal stories are important. You know, if people just write a personal story and say, listen, I'm not sophisticated in using your language and all of this here. I just want to tell you what my story is. I just want to tell you that when you're taking these decisions, please think about how this would have affected my personal story. Those things do have an impact.
Do they?
They do, because remember...
Did you ever change your mind when you were in the public health board down to personal stories?
Absolutely.
Strategically, really?
If you looked, I mean, Transforming Your Care has moved on, but if you looked at the words in Transforming Your Care, many of the words in that document were actually said to me in consultation meetings.
Okay.
Genuinely, many of the words came from people who spoke to me.
John, you've spent an hour with us today. Thank you very much indeed. We really appreciate your time. So it is real. 7 months to save 70 million. These public meetings happening next Thursday. You've got to write to them by Tuesday with what you want to say to them, the broad basis of it. And we hope we've brought at least the knowledge of what's happening to you this morning.